27 minutes to 8. Let's talk sport with Warwick Hadfield. Warwick, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Pretty good news in the cricket, a win, and Patrick Cummins, man of the match in his first test.
Yes, Fran, look, it was a game for the ages and for men of all ages as the Australians chased down the 310 runs needed to beat South Africa, and that's a record on the always juiced up Wanderers wicket in Johannesburg, and a moment recorded for the young Patrick Cummins.
Yeah, I was hoping I didn't get a turn, but I was a little bit nervous when the new ball came around. But kind of telling myself that if a full one came, I was going to swing pretty hard at it. And fortunately, there was a short one. And yeah, just luckily, could have gone anywhere and hit the gap, fortunately.
Now, Pat, you've come from oblivion. Your first test, a six for man of the match. It doesn't get any better.
I don't know. I don't think so. It's unbelievable. And to retain the series as well, it's obviously an awesome thrill to play just one test. So if I get any more, it'll be, surreal.
Surreal, that's Patrick Cummins. Postman Pat, they're calling him, because he always delivers. And he was talking to Grandstand's Drew Morfitt there. On an absorbing last day, much of the early absorbing done by the Super Sopper just to get the game underway 3 hours late. Both sides look to be winning at various stages, particularly South Africa, after Vernon Philander took another fifer. But after Ricky Ponting was out for 62 and Michael Clarke for just 2, it was a couple of late partnerships between the veterans, Mike Hussey, and then the out-of-sorts Brad Haddin and Mitchell Johnson, who put on 50 from 50 balls that got Australia close. And then this ascending star, Pat Cummins, all of 18, smashed in run Tahir for 4, burst into a grin like a split melon, and the Australians had won by 2 wickets and gained a fair measure of redemption for the loss in Cape Town. Now, as we said, Cummins was named man of the match, and Philander, man of the series. Yes, man of the series, after just these 2 tests that so tantalise for just about every ball. It's all over. The failure to program at least a third test is another howler from the people running the game, who, despite their protestations, really seem to have it in for test cricket, preferring far too much of the 2024 format. Alan Border, the former Australian captain, has deplored the decision to play just 2 tests, but of course, what would he know compared with a marketing guru in a bow tie? Today in the Sheffield Shield, another competition that manages to survive despite the best efforts of cricket's marketeers, Victoria host Tasmania. And the New Zealanders are here getting ready to play Australia A at the Alan Border Field later this week. In rugby league, more unhappy headlines for the sport after a young former Parramatta player changed his evidence in a Sydney court yesterday. Originally, Brad Murray had told police his manager Sam A. Oob, one of 4 people charged with various offences, had told him a game between Canterbury Bankstown and North Queensland had been set up. But Murray changed that story yesterday, saying he made the original statement under the duress of being told by Parramatta officials it was the only way he could save his career. Those Parramatta officials say all they did was tell Murray to tell the truth. All interesting developments. And here's another one that would have old rah-rah types spinning in their graves. The Barbars, the Barbarians, have invited England's rugby league fullback Sam Tompkins to play against the Wallabies this weekend at Twickenham. And that will mean he will have played against the Wallabies just a week after playing against rugby league's Kangaroos. And players from both sides are mixing as freely at Twickers. Then you know the day when the two codes merge is getting closer and closer indeed. In golf, the world rankings are out this morning. There are 2 Australians in the top 10 behind the number 1 player, Luke Donald. Adam Scott is in 7th spot and Jason Day 8th. Tiger Woods is there at 51. And a postscript to our equestrian story yesterday. Sonia Johnson, the writer of Pakeha Up Illicit Liaison, insists there's no real story behind the horse's name, particularly the illicit liaison bit. She just liked it. All this even though when she was coaching the Indian equestrian team at the Asian Games in Korea a few years back, she and the whole team had to spend the night in a brothel because that was the only accommodation available for them. More sport tomorrow, Fran.
Good on you, Warwick. Thanks very much. You're listening to ABC Radio National Breakfast. Fran Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. It's 23 minutes to 8.